won't.
We're gonna yell at each other every now and then.
Come and rant. This is what it's for. We want to give you a space to let.
And benvenuti, fellas and bellas all over the world. Welcome to the Raf and Raf post-game rant. I'm with my co-host, Rafa Rispo. We got Carmine from Napoli Club Toronto. And a special guest, first time here. Unfortunately, Lazio fan, but Jerry Mancini. Welcome, sir. How we doing today,
Jerry,
man?
Jerry, touch your screen. You can just touch.
Feel the power. Feel the power of Napoli Mania, baby. Feel the power.
Come on, guys. We're ganging up on you today, Jerry. Hello to everybody in the chat. Be nice to Jerry. Okay, he's a trooper for being here today. That's right, Salvatore Cinque Polpetta. Bravo. From Michael, Christopher Estrada, hello. As always, $5 foot long. That's good. I like that one. I like that one, guys. But
Five star.
5-2 today game. Guys, big game today. Let's go to the stats real quick. Let's break it through. I can't wait to talk to y'all. Let's start there. Bang. All right, guys, just a quick reminder of Lazio's lineup today was the 3-5-2 with the players on the on your left over there. For Napoli, quick reminder of their lineup here with Moret, Hissau, Koulibaly, Manolas, Bakayoko and Ruiz also get to start today. Insigne, Zielinski, Politano, quite the game, and Dries Mertens. If you didn't cry today, you hate puppies. Guys, lots of yellow cards. You'll see it up here. Four yellow cards for Napoli today. We had a triple substitution with Osimhen, Lozano, and Rahmani for Manolas towards the 70th minute. Slobotko, as we like to call him, coming for Baka Slomo in the 89th minute. And my boy Elmas, almost with a little chipper above Pepe Reina today, comes in towards the end of the game. We had three people with assists today. Lozano, Zielinski, and Mertens. Mertens with the goal. Osimhen with a great chip. For our fifth goal today. Insigne, two goals, one of them coming from a penalty kick, and Politano as well. For the stats, guys, almost split in the middle for possession. It really was. I mean, this game really was back and forth. It did feel like a 50-50 game with two chances each, four yellow cards each. So surprised we didn't see a red card today, but thankfully it stayed 11-on-11 for the whole game. Nail biter to the very end with Lazio coming back in the second half and giving Napoli a run for their money. Two corner kicks each, pass percentage about split again, 88-87. Here's the interesting thing, guys. Shots today, 10 total shots for Napoli, 16 for Lazio. Napoli, zero missed shots today, 8 shots on target with 2 blocked shots. This is like, I haven't done this. I've been doing these stats, you know, since December. First time I seen this, with Napoli being pretty accurate. 3 shots on target for Lazio, 9 missed shots, and then 4 blocked for Lazio. Man, it was really, really chippy in that end today, boys. Jerry, I see the face, man. I'm sorry, but you know, it's hard to. I like you so much. It's hard to be happy right now. I just want you to know that while you're here. But let's get your first thoughts about Lazio and about how the game and how you felt about it. Let's start in the first half and what we saw there.
Well, I thought it was the start that they were supposed to have, and you think that they're about to get a foul in the box, a red card, and all of a sudden, there's a foul on Sergei. I mix. At first, I thought that this was the right call, but I want to credit Nima, basically, to giving me some in-depth analysis on it. So I'll be honest. Before Nima tells me his breakdown, it's basically I felt that Savage should have headed the ball in the first place. You're always putting yourself at risk, putting your leg high. But at the same time, he is a tall guy, and mm-hmm. where his leg is, it's nowhere near his chest. So it's kind of not a height length. So this is, and it will take me just a minute to read this, but basically it's playing in a dangerous manner. Playing in a dangerous manner is any action that, while trying to play the ball, threatens injury to someone, including the player himself, and includes preventing a nearby opponent from playing the ball for fear of injury. A scissors or bicycle kick is permissible, provided that it is not dangerous to an opponent. And what we have is this. If an offense involves contact, it is penalized by a direct free kick. Careless is when a player shows a lack of attention or consideration when making a challenge or acts without precaution. No disciplinary sanction is needed. Reckless is when a player acts with disregard to the danger to or consequences for an opponent and must be cautioned. Using excessive force is when a player exceeds the necessary use of force and or endangers the safety of an opponent and must be sent off. Therefore, it's a judgment call. SMS foot was not above his chest. Menelas' head was below his chest level. The entire situation, you can see that SMS is first into the situation. The ball is at a volley height. Not even close to a penalty. It was, however, a clear penalty on Lazzari. DiBello should never be allowed near a football pitch ever again. Because this is not the first time his assassin decisions destroy a game.
thank you, Nima.
Thank you, Nima.
You can all subscribe
thanks, Nima.
To the Italian Football Podcast. You can all subscribe to the Italian Football Podcast on Patreon for $2.99 for more of Nima's insight. Thank you so much, Nima, for that.
Thanks, Nima.
I like to believe that if the referee went with Nima's suggestion and it was not a penalty kick for Napoli, that they would have gone to look at the Lazio, the action with Husai, and I think it was Lazzari, right?
Yeah.
And possibly have given a penalty there. I don't know if a red would have been given. I know he was
possibly not,
but I don't think a red. But it's safe to say that the penalty kick really did sway the game. But at the same time, Napoli really did what they had to do. I think they came out with a mission, and they had it in their heads that they were going to win this game the whole time. So it's hard to really say that for sure that action dictated the rest of the match. You know, that kind of stuff can deflate a team, though, Jerry. You know, and I'd like to get your thoughts on that. What do you think? Do you think that would have been a difference maker?
For a team like Lazio, who plays off momentum, they're a very fragile team. When they go down a goal in certain situations like that, 9 out of 10 times they're deflated. That this is a team that when things don't go their way, they don't normally bounce back. But overall, like I thought Lazio played well. I'm not disappointed with them because they gave 110%. The biggest issue was guys like Correa not finishing their chances. I thought Immobile on one leg looked way more impressive than Correa did on two legs. Immobile wasn't 100% fit. As the game wore on, you've seen the studs in his leg. And I think he kind of like played through it until the 80th minute. And he gave his team a fighting effort. He scored a well-deserved goal in the second half. Gave his team some hope. And when you don't bury your chances against a side like Napoli, where they kind of capitalize. And at the same time, Pep Arena was kind of shit today, I'll be honest. He didn't really help on the second goal, he should have made the save. And on the fifth goal, he should have made a better attempt because he left so much space for Osimhen that he could have just tapped
he
it
like
in
he
if he wanted
watched
to.
That goal in.
Yeah. Like, it was so disappointing. Like, because even if you turn a ball over, and Chirby's at fault. He turns it over, and Marisic should have cut down the space of Osimhen. But at the same time, what is Pep Arena even doing to try to make the attempt of saving that ball? Like even though Insigne's goal was very nice, I think that Pep Arena, he's so high off his line that he gives all that space behind him that he can't make the save.
I wonder if Insigne recognized that from
being I think so.
Teammates at all. Yeah. Carmine. Carmine, I want to ask you now, because we spoke about chippiness, right? We spoke about that in the pregame and a halftime. How did the game end for you? Did that chippiness stay? Did it get cleaner? You know, Lazio did score those two goals.
You know, the chippiness got worse throughout the game, and you can see that the tensions were running high between the two teams, and that's expected. Like, you cannot convince me that a game between Napoli and Lazio is never going to be entertaining. It's always going to be an entertaining match. It's going to be back and forth like we saw in the stats. 50-50. The game was wide open for both teams. And I'm gonna agree with Jerry here. Like, Lazio played well. I'm not going to – the scoreline doesn't justify how well Lazio actually played today. And there are times where Napoli was looking shaky. And in that 70th minute when they got those two goals, you can really see that – you can really see it was like a shining moment for Lazio and really putting a spotlight on them and how well they actually played. But I thought, like I said, Napoli stuck with a game plan. They went out there. They were convinced that they were going to win today. And no matter what else happened on the pitch, it didn't matter. They were just going to go out and win. Now, talking about like the penalty thing, to me, the way I see it is if that's outside the box, that's given as a foul. Mainly because it's studs to the face. Red card. I saw some people calling for red card. Maybe a bit too harsh. Very harsh, actually, if I'm being honest. But usually that's a foul given outside the box. And even inside the box, that same play is a foul in my eyes. So the penalty is justified. And I can see how, like, Napoli's in the same thing where one bad moment can really destroy them mentally and they can just have a bad game from then on out. And I think that's kind of what happened to Lazio in the first half. And Napoli really capitalized on that situation. And they basically gave us a clinic in finishing today. Like you said, no missed shots, 8 shots on target, 5 goals.
Big,
really, really big, good conversion rate. And you don't see that often, especially from a team like Napoli. But overall, great match, solid from start to finish, and it was just nice to see those 5 goals.
So, Jerry, maybe that first penalty kick had a little bit of an effect mentally to Lazio, but they go into the dressing room, they come back in the second half, and then they give Napoli a run for their money. They score 2 goals. What was your feelings like at that moment? Did you feel like, hey, maybe Lazio can get back? What was your emotions then? Tell us a little bit.
Well, hold on, Ralph. Let me interject here. Because
I'm sorry.
That's okay. Because Napoli had scored 2 more after the break. So what you know, at the point where Lazio started scoring was when we were 4-0 up.
Right.
So yeah, they went into the back. They come out. They play their game, but Napoli get 2 more goals. So does that even further deflate? Because we talked about it at half. It all depends on what happens when they get back in the dressing room, out from the dressing room. And we did what we wanted Napoli to do was Napoli score 2 more goals, like, right away, including that Mertens stunner, which, you know, he was really emotional about.
Then right. I'm not crying. You're crying.
Yeah, I'm not crying.
You're crying. I didn't
cry. But Jerry, that's when Lazio turned it up a bit, and that's when Napoli – which what they usually do is take their foot off the pedal a bit. So did you feel after Napoli had made it 4-0 and then Immobile got his goal and then Milinkovic-Savic got his goal, you think that like things were going to turn around a bit? There was plenty of time for it to turn around.
Right. I was at the edge of my seat, Jerry. I'm not going to lie. You know, I was a little bit at the edge of my seat, you know.
At 4-0, I tweeted out, "Welcome back to the Europa League, where Lazio belongs." So that's how I felt at 4-0, okay? Like, you got to be realistic. You know what? I you got to be realistic. You know what? There's a slim opportunity that Lazio can still make it if they beat Milan. There's a lot. They have Roma as well, and then Sassuolo at the end of the season. But they don't have any impact on this. But still with Milan and a game in hand, so there's a possibility. But overall, a guy like Simone Inzaghi was really missed today, and we were fortunate to get away without having him the last 2 games due to COVID. But in a game like today, where his presence makes a big difference, his motivation and ability to just get his players focused, screaming at them. Just he communicates very well with them, I find. So, and that's something where his assistant is not really on the same page. Now, just maybe he makes a difference at halftime inside the dressing room. We're not sure, right? But this is a team that has a few areas of concern. Like Lucas Leiva was very dreadful today, and I don't think he's no longer the player that he once was. He was dominated in that midfield. He didn't really make an impact in this game. And when Cataldi came into the match, I thought that's when Lazio started to become more effective. He won a few challenges immediately. He was creating chances. He was advancing the ball upfield. Like, I just thought he was all over the place and should have scored a goal in added time. But you know what? It is what it is. Like, at 4-0, you score a goal from Immobile. You get a goal from Savic. Right after that, you got Correa down the box, and Gimpy there, whatever you want to call him, decides to try to buy the foul. I don't know what he tries to do all game. And he doesn't convert. Like, these guys try to look for fouls all game. If it wasn't Correa, it was Alberto. You know what? For the best part, I don't think Immobile really tried buying fouls in this game. I was pretty impressed with that. He was the most determined striker, and if there were at least two more Immobiles in this game, the way he played, the way he was committed to his chances, making his runs. I remember that there was one play where he won the ball back right off of Bakayoko and got a chance. And there were two separate instances in the first half where, instead of making the pass, and had he taken the shot, maybe would have been better. But it is what it is. If you don't convert your chances, it's going to come back to haunt you. And Lazio had a lot of chances in this game to make it better than what the scoreline was.
Gaetano says Lazzari was a problem for us. Lazio should have gotten him involved more often, especially one-on-ones.
You can say that. Yeah, you can say that. That's absolutely true. But I just think that Savic wasn't involved enough. That was the biggest thing. And there was one sequence where he should have made the pass down the right side to Lazzari, where he commits the run and he makes a pass inside the box and it goes to nobody. And that was a big issue with Lazio so often, where their decision-making, where they just weren't connecting on the same page. Farias and Correa on the first half, they didn't make passes properly. And I noticed a lot of the time when the center backs were making passes to Lazzari, they were mistimed. If it wasn't like Radu not making his pass properly to Fares, or it may have been somebody else, but just so many mistimed passes, and it really hurt them. But you know what? As much as they let their chances slip away, I thought you got to give credit to Politano, because I think he was the difference maker in this game. And he's my player of the game for Napoli, because he set the tempo in the first half. He got Napoli going. He really made an impact on the second goal. Like, everything he does affects his team, the motivation. Like, this is a guy who was written off at Inter and was said that he was no good. And then he comes to Napoli and Gattuso's gotten the best out of him. So very impressive by him today.
You know, speaking of which, guys, let's get it out there for everybody. We're going to go to the beast of the match and then continue with the conversation, all right? Here it is, guys. Come on, one second. Jerry, you said it. Politano, beast of the match today. Absolute beast along the right side today. I mean, Rafa, you want to take it away on his performance? I know you're a little quiet up there, so let's get you.
No, yeah. I'll tell you what, man. He was the beast. He really dictated the first half. He absolutely dismantled Lazio down on that right hand side. You know, of the offense. Goal early. You know, just very, very smart. Had his eyes open the whole game. You know, made some really key passes. I think he just got stuck in today, and even in the second half, just like really kind of stood out for me. As predicted, was substituted off for Lozano, but I think we actually predicted all three of those substitutions at halftime, which was crazy. But you know, Politano really did the job for me today. If you could give it to everyone, we talked about this off air, Ralph.
Yeah,
we could have, but honestly, for me, it was Politano just really dictated the match, had a great game. I'll tell you what, him and Lozano really making up for Callejon on that right side, aren't they?
Hey, Antonio in the house. Forza Napoli, ragazzi. Siamo fortissimi.
Papa.
5 seconds.
Hey, Papa.
Hey, Ando.
Unfortunately, he shaved the goatee off. I think he should have kept it, but yeah.
Hey, maybe it brought us 5 goals. Maybe it's good luck.
Maybe it's good luck. Yeah.
Carmine,
yeah.
Do you want to add anything about Politano here before we move on?
You know what? There's not much more that I could add to this that Rafa hasn't already covered. He's just been He was just like dismantling that side today. And you know, I just want to point it back to what I said in the pregame match. It was all about that creativity. If you look at all the goals and assists today, where do they come from? They came from those front four. They were creative today. They were working off of each other. It's what you like to see. But Politano, more so than anyone else, because he was positive the entire match. He was keeping his head up. He always seemed to make the right pass, the right turn, the right touch. At any point in the game, when Politano was on the ball, I felt like Lazio's defenders at some points were getting a little bit hesitant. They were a little bit scared to attack him. And that's what really gave him that space to really work. And you know what? Just like I said before, you beat them mentally, you can already beat them physically. You're 3 steps ahead of them. And that's why Politano was my beast of the match as well.
Let's put up something from Christopher Estrada. What I said in the chat, what Respo keeps on saying, but would you guys agree? Politano deserves an Italy call-up as he is the most underrated player in Italy.
1 million%.
100%. One of the most underrated players in Italy. 100%. He deserves a call-up, even if he's going to sit because Chiesa will get the time. This guy, when Chiesa comes off, needs to come on the pitch because he absolutely 100% has earned it. This now you know, and you can't even say that, you know, Mancini has a team set up because, you know, and you know that it goes to say, like, Bernardeschi doesn't do well in Serie A, but he's scoring goals for Italy and this and that. Politano has been in the mix as well. It just was recently where he wasn't. Politano's been in the mix and has been called up. So it's not like he doesn't deserve it. I think he does deserve it. I think he should get it. Even if they have Chiesa or Berardi for that right-hand side, I think Politano deserves a spot.
There you go. Big clap for Politano today being our...
Listen, 9 goals... 9 goals in Serie A, 2 in Europa League, 5 assists. So that's 11 goals and 5 assists this season from Politano alone off the bench. You know what I mean? I mean, you know, not all off the bench. He started in most of those games, in some of those games too. But as basically a bench guy to Lozano, you know, there's that eclipses Callejon's last season. You add Lozano's figures in, those two guys have more goals and assists than Callejon had in the last 2 seasons he was with Napoli. So I would say we pretty much made up for that right-hand side.
I'll speak up for Daniel. I'll say that apparently Grifo has played really well in the Bundesliga through some people I actually like write for and really pay attention to the German league. He's actually been really good this year. Vice versa for Bernardeschi. He's been a sack of shit for Juve. And, He shouldn't be on the team. I agree, and I hate this answer of but he's really good for Italy and he really is a difference maker. I think a lot of these players are basically valued or looked at based on what they do with their club as opposed to what they can do with their national team. And Bernardeschi hasn't done anything this season to warrant a position. Now, if you were to ask me, I think Berardi should start ahead of both of them. But Politano should be there. I agree. I think Berardi's been my favorite this year. On a team like Sassuolo, that it's a good team, but I think people think it's better than what it really is. So, and he really looked really good up front with the with Insigne and Immobile. So I think that three up front really clicked well when they were playing. So I'm interested to see how that goes. But, you know, it never hurts to try Politano with the way he's been playing this year. He does deserve a call-up. I do agree with that.
Carmine, you want to chime in there for Politano?
Yeah, I mean, like, it's a very tough position that Politano's put in because there's two other players that play really well on that side, being Chiesa and Berardi, that have also been doing fairly well throughout the season for their own respective clubs, right? But it doesn't hurt to give him a try. Give him a shot. You put him on as a superstar. Like, if let's say Chiesa plays one game, right? and he's tired for the next game, you can put in Bedardo Politano. It's just having that versatility on the right side with three very solid players and three very distinct styles of play between the three. So it can really, you can really start to exploit opposition teams by utilizing that trident on the right side for sure. But like I said, it's tough. He's got to compete with two other very, very good players as well. So I want to see him there. Are we going to see him there? Possibly. I hope Mancini gives him the chance that he should get. But we just got to wait and see.
Politano and Lozano, 25 goals, 10 assists, all competitions this season.
Beast on that right side. Beasting it on that right side.
Beast on that right side. He's caught Lozano for goals scored. I mean, there's not much more you can say. Lozano, who midway through the season we said was our best player, Politano has just as many goals in the league as he does, 9-9. It's amazing. Great job.
It is a great job. You know, unfortunately, Lozano, he was on some form, on some role, and then he got hurt, had to come out for a month. So maybe why we saw some of those numbers dwindling. But nonetheless, those two, that whole side has been a joy for Napoli fans, I feel like, the both of them. I mean, I think sometimes we really underrate the squad that we got. You know, maybe not us or not everybody, but give some respect. We have an awesome, awesome front line. And, you know, Lizon,
I was going to say something, but I'm going to refrain till later because I want to end with this. Okay. So I'll wait. But I wanted to chime in. So remember where you stopped right there. Remember where you stopped. Underrated squad. Remember that.
Underrated squad.
I want Jerry's opinion on something. But go ahead. Continue.
Nice.
All right. So but that's it. I was really happy to see when Lozano came in today and he saw Ozinem. All right, granted, Ozinem was wide open, but he gave him the ball. Ozinem off balance, turns around, shoots, off balance, turns around, shoots, put it on the near side of Pepe Reina. Like, I don't know it was a blast. I don't even know how that ball got the pace that it did, considering how he took that shot. But I don't know. Jerry, maybe I'll give this one to you. Was that goal more of a Pepe Reina? I think maybe you did answer this, but was that goal more of a Pepe Reina, like, blunder or just wow, what a shot, or a little bit of both, maybe?
Oh, Reina shit the bed. He literally shit the bed. It was a good shot. I'll give the shot to him with power, but any where he's taking that shot and where he positions himself, Reina, he has to be more reactive to that. It kind of reminds me of Handanovic yesterday, where he kind of let that squeaker underneath his arm and wasn't really ready for the shot when he should have been. That's just the way I looked at with Reina today. And I really do consider Strakosha should go back into goal and give it another opportunity, because Reina hasn't convinced me in the last couple of games. So
he looked like Dina Zoff like the last game. And today he came in just not there, dude. You know, I remember that last game. He played on his head, I must admit. But today...
To counter that, on the Napoli side, Medit didn't play a great game either, guys.
I love how everyone continues to sing Medet's praises, which, again, don't get me wrong, I like him, but Carmine, come on, we're on the same page here. There's no way that, you know, Medet should have got that free kick. I was a wonderful free kick by Sergei. Wonderful.
Okay.
But
okay.
But come on, he had all the time in the world. Mm. He even had his hands on. Like, come on, Medet didn't have a great
time. I think I don't know where you stand on this, Rafa, but I've always been a Medet supporter and believe that he should be our number one. And the reason being is that he has to gain his confidence as a young keeper. He has to learn by baptism by fire sometimes. You can do whatever you want in training, but nothing compares to when you're in a match. So he should have been the number one. I've always been on the Medet train for starting him, getting him that experience, building that confidence. But today, like, you can see on some of the plays, like Lazzari bolts down the wing, beats Izai, which that matchup today almost gave me a heart attack on multiple occasions. I said it before, I'll say it again. Lazzari is a problem if you don't contain him. He is a major problem. And I was having some difficulty with that. But Letsidy comes in, Insigne blocks him off, and he's holding Letsidy back, and he's screaming at Medet, come out, take the ball. It's like 2 feet away from him. And Medet's just standing in his net, not knowing what to do. See, it's stuff like that where I feel bad for him in a way because he didn't get his confidence, he didn't get that experience, and I guess maybe they don't really cover it in training. It's a kind of a messed up situation. But it was moments like that today where Medet was making the wrong decisions just moment after moment. When he tried to clear the ball, like, he whiffs at it and then gets caught out and nobody's covering in behind him. Like, there was stuff like that that made me a bit uneasy. With Ospina out, I get it's kind of hard. You can't start Contini or maybe really give him a chance. You have to put Medet in net. But I think, you know, now that the season's winding down, just start fresh next season. Give Ospina the games again because he has that confidence. He has that form. Let Medet learn a little bit more. Put him in every once in a while. And it pains me to say this because I really want to see him start and thrive at Napoli. But at this point, with the season winding down, go tried and true Ospina. He's been well. He's been performing well. And just let Medet start fresh.
I think if you give Medet the nod next season, like if whoever the new manager is, or if Gattuso stays, what have you, whatever that deal is, if they come in and say, okay, day one, Medet, you're our number one. You're going to start every game. You're going to start the frigging preseason games. You're going to start the Champions League. You're going to start in Serie A, and we're going to rotate Ospina, or, you know, if Ospina leaves, whoever's next, you know what I mean? Medet, you're the number one. I think that he will be able to take that as a confident, you know, the team's confident in me, so I'm confident. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. He is a very young keeper, but so is Donnarumma, and he's been doing it since he was 17. So, you know, the age issue eventually becomes an excuse, and also the experience becomes an excuse. If you're a keeper that's ready, you should be ready. It's like, that's one position in my mind that you need to be ready at all times for anything. We've seen back keepers come in and have worldies before. Medet could do the same. He's got a really good future ahead of him, and I'm confident in his future. But it's going to have to be from next season. You're the number one. Boom. Basta. You know what I mean? Like, that's got to be it. Like you said, though, for the rest of the season, when Ospina comes back, it's got to be Ospina, especially in these games against these lesser opponents that we have. Yeah. So that's my take on that.
Jerry, do you want to chime in?
I agree with Daniel. I 100% agree with Daniel, and I'll explain why. Thomas Tudakosha, 26 years old, okay? Now, before this season, he was probably top five goalkeeper in Serie A. So he started playing with Lazio 4 seasons ago with the first team. He's been with them since like 2012. But with the first team, he started 2016-17, and I believe he was 22 years old at the time. Now, you got a young goalkeeper, 22, just like Medet, right? Okay. First season he plays, he gets the starting role because I think Marchetti at the time was the goalkeeper. I don't remember, but he was injured. He came in, played well, won the starting role, played 21 games, plus he played Coppa Italia. Next season he plays 38 games, additional European play, cup play, 53 games total. 2018-19, he plays 44 games. Last season he plays 44 games. All of a sudden, he plays 8 games this year. And how does that help him? In the last 4 years, he's been playing consistent competition, never rotating, and he look how good he got. And now look at – you got Pep Arena, who all of a sudden, this fat piece of crap has to come in, excuse my language, and steal – and I, you know what? Arena has been good when Sarkosha had COVID. He went down. Whatever the case, he lost his role because he had COVID for X amount of time. Arena was playing good. And when Strakosha was healthy, for some reason, he never came back into the lineup. Don't get it. But how does that help a 26-year-old where he was valued for almost $40 million? Tottenham was going to buy him a season ago for $40 million. You think you're going to get $40 million for Strakosha now, the way you're using him? So Guys, I agree with Daniel. He needs to play on a consistent basis to become a number one goalkeeper. If you play a game today, five off now, one game you play, five off then, two games in a row, 10 off, it doesn't help you. You're not really growing. You need to go through the goods and bads. And I think that Medet could be a top goalkeeper for Napoli if he plays on a consistent basis.
I want to humbly respect my colleagues' opinions, but today I'm going with Daniel, Ando B, and of course Jerry Delaziale, because I feel the same way. Meret was looking like a top goalkeeper prospect until they started rotating him. Remember, Ospina was his backup when he got hurt, so it just feels like Meret lost some of that laser focus, some of that quick reaction, the things that we'd love to see from him, his positioning, everything. Now he's back there. It looks like his confidence has been shaking. He doesn't seem to be all there. Sometimes when you're not all there, you end up making those stupid decisions. And a save today that I think he could have made today on that free kick didn't happen for whatever reason. Now, everybody makes their mistakes. I get it. I don't want to overrate the guy, but I feel like ever since, and I'm going to be with Jerry and the rest of the gang, that since this rotational stuff, that I think we hurt his confidence a little bit. And, I wish him the best. I want him to stay. I hope he does stay. I hope he's our future. But I agree. Put him in the net. Keep him playing. Put him in the net. Let him grow his confidence back. Let him work on the things he needs to work on. For the rest of the season, I will go with Gattuso, with whatever choice he decides to make, what he thinks is best for the team. But after that, by next season, Meret's my guy. I want to start watching him grow and get better and better and be a pillar for this team and our starting goaltender, without a doubt. So, Rafa, because we got to go soon, and you wanted me to remind you.
We do have to go soon. Go ahead, Jerry. Go ahead.
I got a question for you guys, actually, if you don't mind, before you guys go. And the question is now, okay, let's just say that Napoli does finish in a top four spot and Gattuso's not your manager next year. Do you think this is a bad thing for Napoli? Because once again, you're changing another manager, another philosophy once again. There's no continuity with this team. And I think it's a big mistake if Gattuso's not there next year, because he worked really hard.
That was what I was going to bring up, and I wanted to end with.
Okay.
Before I answer that question, I want to talk about how great that goal by Mertens was and how emotional he was.
Okay.
And really quick, I'll answer that, Jerry, because I do want to answer that. But Mertens has tied Vojak for Serie A goals, most Serie A Napoli goals at 102. Unofficially, it's Attila Salustro that has 106 goals in league play, but that was before it's 78 as a Serie A entity. The rest of those goals were without, it was as not a Serie A, Italian championship, not Serie A. But Mertens is officially Serie A top goal scorer, tied with Vojak. Very, very emotional. Total is 135 behind Mertens at 121, behind Hamsik at 121, which is insane. He keeps scoring. He just—it's not like he stopped right after that. He
just keeps scoring. Just keeps scoring.
He just keeps scoring. I really want to praise Mertens for that, and I want to get you guys reaction too. And then we're gonna talk about Gattuso fast, and then we'll go.
I think I'm like over Gattuso now at this point, guys. I'm sorry.
We've had so many episodes
about Gattuso. It's pretty evident that we are in support of Gattuso. We're sticking Gattuso's with him to the end of the season. Of course, he's got to stay. But I don't want to make this another Gattuso show. We can address that. We've addressed it way too many times, guys. We are in support of Gattuso on this show. Period.
Ralph,
nothing else.
We addressed it. No. We addressed
but
it.
But it's like, Jerry, how many more Jerry times do we need to? But Jerry, he answered.
He's our guest. He asked a question.
Jerry. But Jerry said he expressed his opinion. It aligns with ours. We support Gattuso. I don't want to get into another coach battle. I really don't. We can have at the end of the season, we're gonna come back. We're gonna talk all about Gattuso. I'm gonna have one episode just Gattuso, but I just want to focus on the game today. We do got to cut out because I don't want things to drag on. I got to go soon. But we're in support of Gattuso. Does everybody agree here? Raise your hand. Gattuso stays? All right. Enough said. Enough said. That's it. Gattuso stays. Let's see what happens. It's his choice.
What the fuck is this? Excuse my language.
I wanna rip through the screen.
What is this? Simone Inzaghi is exactly like Gattuso with the fan base. You're gonna have good and bad with these guys, but these are the future of what Serie A is gonna bring you. They give you a new mentality to the game. Like, yeah, okay, I get Gattuso. Sometimes his tactics are not always the brightest, but as he goes on, he's gonna learn and adapt and get better. Like, that's what you're seeing this season with Gattuso. He overcame adversity when half the world wanted him out of the team. He came over adversity when he had half of his team hurt. He overcame so many challenges this season. Like, this is I had them pegged as winning the Scudetto this year. Not Inter, not Juventus. I thought Napoli was the runner-up. They were the most active in the summer transfer market, active last winter. You go, that back line of Manolis, Koulibaly, you got Di Lorenzo, and if you can get a better left back, then you're really set to go. But that's just the shit out of luck. But you got a really good midfield with Rui, and you got Zielinski, and you got Bakayoko who can come in and play as a sub. That's really good. Your front, you got Osimhen, you got Politano, you got Lozano.
Insigne.
Yeah, but then you look at how Lazio beat them last time. How did we beat you guys? Well, you guys lost Lozano during the game. You didn't have Politano. What else?
No Mertens, no Insigne.
Koulibaly got hurt during the game. He had to come out.
Osimhen was injured.
That really helped Lazio to win. Only 2-0. They were in it, Napoli, that game. They weren't exactly outplayed, but still, I think they're a top three team in Serie A. And I know injuries are a factor. I'll leave it like this. I know injuries are a factor and everybody goes through it, but no one has gone through it like Napoli when you have 10 guys out, one shot. Like, I know Lazio had 12 guys up. That was with COVID, and it wasn't a long period of time. But with Napoli, they had injuries long-term. Yeah. You people don't look at this stuff. That really – and that happened, too, when Napoli started to play very well. And then they had to overcome bad games because everything – there's no continuity with this team. There's no chemistry building. There's no consistency. Now you're starting to see that because everyone's healthy now. Mm-hmm. So that's all I'll say. And I'll give a shout out to Chirdo Immobile for actually going down to the pitch and going to Manolis. And now I thought that was kind of pretty as well.
Pretty classy.
I thought that was classy.
Carmine, do you want to add something? I could see your
Okay.
Go ahead.
I think you guys want to kill me because I haven't explained myself.
No,
let me explain myself first.
Not at all.
Let me explain myself first.
Is this Gattuso talk?
This is, yeah, all but right. It's pretty quick.
Guys, just a few more minutes. I got to wrap it up, all right? So I'm going to give you 2 minutes. I'm sorry, but I'm done with the Gattuso.
Guys, sorry. I don't remember. If you remember the last time I came on here, what I said about Gattuso. I said, you wait until the end of the season, and you determine from that point on what you do with him.
Right.
If it's up to me, like, if I were to go on my own precedence and say, wait until the end of the season, yes, he has the possibility that he should stay. Yes. But his relationship with ADL is just shot. And his relationship with higher-ups is just shot. And that's not good in terms of looking at the club at the whole. And may hurt them later on in the season for the next season, right? So if it's up to me and based on how we were performing towards the end of the season, if we made Champions League, he never got a fair chance this season. He was always placed with something else in front of him. Osimhen injured. Your $70 million striker, you just bought this kid, injured, COVID. 10 players out of the lineup. He basically had a whole lineup of all injured players, all of them starters. Like, he never got a fair chance. And I can acknowledge that. And it sucks that he never got this chance. But you always have to keep them and evaluate at the end of the season. And there's very few managers out there right now that can replace Gattuso, other than maybe one or two that I have in mind. One of them is Galtier from Lille. That's maybe it. And he's not even guaranteed to come. So if we can't get a better manager, then there's no point in changing a manager. But if we can, maybe it's a consideration. That's my point.
So I'm going to end with a question we don't have to answer. I'm going to end with a question we don't have to answer. Okay. In the state that we were in December and January, the mental state that all the fans were in, the placement where Napoli was, and if Gattuso has a real chance to finish in second place. And there's been a silencio stampa since we've turned it around. Nobody really knows what's going on because no one's really talked to anybody. Okay, so speculation by all the announcers, all the pundits, are that Gattuso's leaving for Fiorentina and Gaultier's coming in or Spalletti's coming in or what have you. But the relationship between ADL and Gattuso is strained only because of what we thought back when we were in seventh, when we were losing matches to Spezia, when we were really, really hurt and all that stuff. But how do we know for real that the relationship between ADL and Gattuso isn't fixed, especially since he may finish in second place? Now, it's one thing to finish top four Champions League, but you get Napoli to second place after the disaster that we had back in the winter time. That changes a lot. I'm just saying that changes a lot. Do you change him then? Don't need to answer the question because we can finish right here. We can have another a whole rant and we can bring all four guys here back to have a discussion about management another time. But Napoli might finish in second place. Let's
the
just
pizza is aggressive.
That's the most important thing, right? Getting back 100%. To Champions League.
Getting back to Champions League. That's it. But guys, I'm sorry to rush. I got to cut out. I just wanted to thank everybody. Jerry, thank you so much for coming today. Despite, you know, I'm sure deep down inside, but I thank you for coming and being here.
Catching the business.
All right. But you know, you made it. That's the important Jerry, part. And you know, nothing.
Let me tell you something about Jerry Mancini. You're a sweetheart. Jerry Mancini's video on Twitter earlier before the game got me so pumped up that I almost became a freaking Lazio fan. I was like, yeah, man, let's go. Oh, wait. Lazio. This guy's passion second to none, man. Beautiful job.
Thanks.
Beautiful. Calcio connection. All the shit you do, brother. Good for you. Good. Good stuff. Good for,
seriously. You want to put in your plug real quick, Jerry? Let's see if where people can find you on Twitter or social media.
JMancini8, and you can, like Rafa just said, at the Culture Connection, and just have some articles basically with World Football and the Laziale.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Dude, we'll be waiting for your writing piece for Far From Vesuvius on this matchup. That would be nice. If we could post that there, that would be nice. Yeah, outside of perspective, right?
All right. Forget. Carmine, thank you to you as well. You were with us all day long, man. We love the points you made all day, and they really did almost come true today. It was awesome. But thank you so much. Rafa, another great show. It was a pleasure. Gentlemen, thank you again. Forza Napoli sempre. Let's get a big Forza Napoli in the chat. Let's blow up the wall real quick. Let's go. Let's do this, guys. You know how we go. Thank you, Alfonso. Antonio Rispo, good night. And sempre Forza Napoli to you as well, guys. Thank you, bud.
Yeah, you look like your father. Yeah.
You guys have to go.
Forza Napoli.
Yes. Yeah, I see it.
Forza Napoli. Hey, boy, what's going on, boy? Yeah. Jonathan Best for Forza Napoli. Trophy, Forza Napoli. Thank you so much. Sorry, Jerry. I know this is probably torture right now, but you know, this is what we do here. That's great. All right, Antonio.
This is actually really good.
Yeah.
This is actually really good. I bet you if I had a Lazio one, I probably had like two people on. That's it.
We got more Laziale here sometimes, you know?
You'd be surprised.
Vanessa, Christopher.
Okay, Francesco. Jerry, nothing is small until I can't fix.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, guys, let's cut out. Until next time, I'll see you all later. Ciao. Thank you again, gentlemen. Ciao.